Welcome back to a next episode of What's Up, Prof. Hello, Walter.
We say hello, Walter, all the time. So yes. I'll say hello, Martin.
Thank you. we're going to have an interesting discussion today, and we need the guidance of the Holy Spirit, so I'll pray for us. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, there's so much deception in the world, and there's so many voices out there. Help us to discern these things. Help us in our discussion. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So we're going to talk about miracles, wonders, signs, all of these things. Well, we've touched on it on many occasions, Matthew 24 and all of these. But just to bring it up to our time, let's have a look at some of these things. Now, there are physical signs. And then there are spiritual signs. Our emphasis today is spiritual signs. And we're going to talk about prophets and miracles and wonders and where God's people should take note, be careful, tread softly, because we have serious warnings in the Bible about these things. But before we go there, let's look at some of the physical things that are happening. Trump issues presidential disaster declaration for California. We just put this in to show there are major things happening. Now, there have always been fires in California, but these are somehow different from the previous ones.
Yeah. There's quite some eerie
things going on
with it.
Yes. And thank you to the president for your partnership in granting this urgent major disaster declaration. California is battling two of the largest fires in our history and has seen nearly 600 new fires in the last week caused by dry lightning strikes. So new lightning is expected, and these dry lightning strikes, that means there's no precipitation. Some people say there was no thunder, which was strange. And there have been reports of that in other places in Ireland. The BBC reported that a few years ago there were lightning storms without thunder. And they're talking about bent atmosphere and this and that and the other. But it's just interesting that the disasters are escalating. And as you see, this is escalation such as we have not previously seen. It's interesting that they show the lightning strikes and they talk about between 10 and 12,000 lightning strikes causing all of these fires.
Yeah.
So that's incredible, isn't it? Let's just look at this little video and see what they say. So we had all of those strikes, and every time there's a red flare, there's a fire, and the clouds are gone. And of course, there are many conspiracy theories about what caused them, etc. But be that as it may, the Bible tells us that there will be physical signs, and the spirit of prophecy tells us that these physical manifestations and the disasters will bring people to the point where they say, we have to get back to God. We have to start implementing legislation, etc., etc. But today we want to concentrate on the spiritual aspects. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, we read, "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all powers and signs and lying wonders." In Mark 13:22, it says, "For false Christs and false prophets shall arise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. And Jesus warned in John 4, verse 48, then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, you will not believe. So it's amazing that part of the human psyche seems to require signs. And wonders.
Yeah,
that's why Jesus said, you want the signs. So somebody will supply the signs so that you may believe the falsehood. The only safety we have in this world today is the Word of God. So we will have false messiahs, we will have false prophets, we will have false Christs, we will have signs and wonders. We've been warned that these things will come. Here's a quote from the book Maranatha, The Corruption of Truth. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. Why should we not believe it? Because the Bible is very clear that when Jesus returns for the second time, he will not be on this earth. Yeah. We will meet him in the sky. So anything that happens here in the desert or in the inner room is not from God. As we near the end of time, falsehood will be so mingled with truth that only those who have the guidance of the Holy Spirit will be able to distinguish truth from error. Let's just stop there. The Bible is very clear also in the book of Acts where it says, and God gives the Holy Spirit to them that obey him. So obedience and the true spirit go hand in hand. We need to make every effort to keep the way of the Lord. We must in no case turn from his guidance to put our trust in man. The Lord's angels are appointed to keep strict watch over those who put their faith in the Lord, and these angels are to be our special help in every time of need. Every day we are to come to the Lord with full assurance of faith and to look to him for wisdom. Those who are guided by the word of the Lord will discern with certainty between falsehood and truth, between sin and righteousness. That's a very important criterion. In fact, that was the foundation for the Reformation.
Yes.
The Word.
The Word. The problem is, a lot of people use the Word and giving false prophecies as well.
That's true. So it has to be in harmony with the Word and not out of context.
That's
false miracles. Are God's people prepared for false miracles? It is fully time that every responsible worker should take his stand firmly on the word of God. This word is to be our defense when Satan works with such lying wonders that if it were possible, he would deceive the very elect. It is then that those who have not stood firmly for the truth will unite with the unbelieving who love and make a lie. When these wonders are performed, when sick are healed and other marvels are wrought, they will be deceived. Are we prepared for the perilous times that are right upon us? Or are we standing where we will fall an easy prey to the wiles of the devil? I find it interesting that she says here that unbelievers will unite with believers who are being deceived, and they will make a union.
That's very interesting.
That's very interesting. But again, you have to stand firmly upon the Word of God. That is the Protestant principle, sola scriptura. If it doesn't say so, it is not so, even if it looks like it should be so, but it is not so because it does not say so. Simple, right?
Simple.
All right, so Jesus Christ appears shining like a bright light, and he's talking to a group of people somewhere, and you know that's not him, because he's not going to come like that.
Correct. He's going to come that every eye can see him.
There will be miracle working power of Satan, and he will deceive many. As the condition of the church and the world was opened before me, and I beheld the fearful scenes that lay just before us, I was alarmed at the outlook. And night after night, while all in the house were sleeping, I wrote out the things given me of God. I was shown the heresies which are to arise, the delusions that will prevail, the miracle working power of Satan, the false Christs that will appear, that will deceive the greater part even of the religious world, and that would, if it were possible, draw away even the elect. We are heading for some serious trouble.
Yes.
And, you know, in the last few years, how many winds of doctrine have been blowing even within our own church?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it's like the sluice has been opened, and all of a sudden the pillars no longer were pillars, but were based on falsehood. Amazing. Many will go from us. That's a rather sad statement. Yes. Giving heed to seducing spirits. A superficial faith results in a superficial experience. The light given me has been very forcible that many would go out from us, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The Lord desires that every soul who claims to believe the truth shall have an intelligent knowledge of what is truth. Let me just stop there. In other words, what the church has believed since its inception, all of a sudden will be questioned here at the end. And groups of people will arise that will suddenly say that everything we believed up until now is based on a falsehood.
Mm. From within.
From within. Mm. So anything new that starts coming in like a rushing torrent, we should be very wary and ask ourselves, did the reformers believe that? Did the pioneers of this church believe that? When the foundations were laid upon which this house is built, was that foundation sound, or was it a false foundation? Have we been building on sand ever since that time? Now, just ask yourselves that question. I'm not even mentioning the doctrines that are coming in.
Mm.
I'm not mentioning them by name. Let everybody out there consider what in the last few years has been coming in like a flood in a form of a wind of doctrine where people are saying, if you don't believe this, you're part of Babylon, and they're out.
Yeah.
There's no coming out out of the last remnant movement. There's only a spitting out.
A shaking.
There's a shaking.
Yeah. The shaking is shaking you out.
So let everybody just consider that and think for themselves. What has been made prominent in the last few years? And why wasn't it prominent beforehand? False prophets will arise and they will deceive many. Everything is to be shaken that can be shaken. Then does it not become everyone to understand the reasons of our faith? In place of having so many sermons, there should be a more close searching of the Word of God, opening the Scripture text by text and searching for the strong evidence that sustains the fundamental doctrines that have brought us where we are now upon the platform of eternal truth. So that's our foundation.
Yes.
I'm going to mention one.
Mm.
When you start touching the deity of Christ, then the warning bells should ring with a resounding ring. The shutters should come down, and a bulwark must be erected against whatever is attacking the deity of Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. By Him were all things created, and without Him was not anything created. Before Abraham was, I am. Thomas fell at His feet and said, my Lord and my God. The healed people fell at His feet and worshipped Him, and He accepted the worship which no angel even does. How much evidence do you need?
Yes.
And then you have the spirit of prophecy. In Him was life unborrowed, underived. He said, I take up my life. I lay it down. Nobody takes with from me. I have power to lay it down. I will take it up again. How much evidence do you want?
Correct.
And so, yet, this is happening everywhere.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. And Martin Luther said, the God who didn't die for me is not my God. The first little wind that blows in that direction, mm-hmm. barricade yourself because it's going to turn into a tornado.
It's the fullness of God. It's not a lesser God.
Yes, he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. I mean, I could go on forever. I'm very passionate about that. Don't touch the deity of Christ.
Amen.
Okay. I've got that out of my system. We've had this before, but it's interesting how it is progressing. This one is now from August 2020. Israeli rabbi says he's already holding meetings with the Messiah. This is a very secretive Messiah. I thought he was coming like lightning, that one would see him from the east of the west. Every eye will see him, but he's having a secret meeting.
Secret meeting, yeah.
Can you believe this?
No.
You're not going to believe this. No. You're not going to believe this. It's interesting that, you know, the Jewish nation is waiting for the Messiah, but they're waiting for a national deliverer, right? Yeah.
The same that they did 2,000 years ago.
Exactly. Exactly the same mistake. And we want to be delivered from this virus that is called sin.
Mm-hmm.
People are worried about coronavirus. They should be worried about the virus called sin.
Definitely.
So here they are having secret meetings. And again, he belongs, this rabbi who is very respected, Rabbi Tzitzkold, says that Kanievsky and others of the mystical concealed rabbis.
Mm.
Now, this is very interesting because they also believe, of course, that in any time period in history, there must be 36 righteous people on earth.
Okay.
36 of them. And they don't even know that they are the righteous ones. But because of them, God spares the entire world. Because of these 36 righteous people. And they will be from the Jewish community and probably maybe one of these rabbis. But they won't themselves even know that they belong to these righteous ones. Now, the number 36 is interesting because that deals with the constellations of the stars. It's actually a spiritualistic, Kabbalistic view.
Okay.
36 rooms in the zodiac and, you know.
Yeah.
Each room, of course, must be occupied. So this is spiritualism mingled with religion. So he began his explosive three-hour interview with the warning, the process of redemption is about to start happening very quickly and at a fast pace. It is important that people remain calm and steady to act properly in the right time. Now, the redemption they're talking about is not redemption from sin. This is redemption from circumstance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Getting the word out now that the Messiah is closer than ever is a matter of life and death. Haven't you heard of Gog and Magog? So it's interesting that, you know, the Russians are in that, and it is such a confusion. What we're trying to say here is that the Christian world has been drawn into this philosophy of the Jewish Messiah who will come, which is a misnomer in itself, because Christian world believes in the Messiah who has already come,
yes,
and who will come with power and great glory.
Correct.
How can you actually accommodate two versions of the Messiah?
Yeah. That's actually very interesting you mentioned that, because now come to think of it, it is almost impossible.
Yes.
You've got the first Messiah that the Christians believe in that came, and he's coming the second time. And like you said, now the Jews expect their Messiah to come for the first time.
Yes.
And he's coming to... But I think the...
Now, if you get them confused and you make them the same person in your mind... Then they also believe that the church is being raptured, which is a Jesuit theology, being taken away while the Messiah is down here, probably for 1,000 years. So what are they going to be, widows up there?
So that's where the confusion comes in.
It's totally unbiblical.
Yes, because now also these Christians are waiting, and the Jews are waiting for this Messiah to come and rule on earth for 1,000 years.
What does it mean when the Bible says, your house has been left to you desolate? It means there's nothing there. Now this house is the nation, not the people. Mm. Because Paul makes it very clear that they have been cut out of the vine. But because they were natural branches, they can easily be grafted back in. But what was the condition for being grafted back in?
Obedience.
You have to accept them, Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Then you are grafted back in.
Because he's the vine.
He is the vine. So if you do not accept this, now they say the Messianic Jews are accepting Jesus Christ as the Messiah. But again, there's this difference that there Jesus is a national deliverer. It's still the nation that is prominent. Mm-hmm. And the nation will rule over the other nations eventually. That is the philosophy. But Jesus came to deliver us from sin. His kingdom is not of this world. Mm. And there's a millennium where it says that the saints will be given, or the judgment will be handed over to the saints. Mm. So after that millennium, they return to this earth, the holy city comes down, the unrighteous are resurrected, and they are judged. Fire comes down from heaven and devours them. There's no eternal hell that burns. The results of the fire are eternal. They will be ashes under their feet. The Bible is very clear. They will be as though they never were. So this is such a confusion. This is a Jesuit doctrine that has come into the world. The Bible has one Messiah, and that is Jesus Christ, the God-man. Mm-hmm. That's why you have to touch the divinity of Christ. You have to get rid of it if you want to mingle all of this stuff together.
Yes.
Because you have to even fit in the Imam Mahdi, which is the Islamic Messiah. Mm. You have to fit him in. And you want them all to coexist.
Yeah.
And then you have the Hindu Krishna. How are you going to accommodate them all? There's one name under heaven and earth whereby you can be saved, and that is untouchable.
And taking away the divinity of Christ,
you can do that.
You can do that.
You can do anything. Top rabbis look for signs. The Messiah is coming. So what are the signs that they're looking for? Israel is about to go to the polls for the third election. So this is a couple of months ago. And they're talking about Rabbi Amar, the former Sephardic chief rabbi, told the gathering earlier this month that the list of significant signs of the past year simply cannot be ignored. Israel seems unable to elect a government. That's a sign. Mm-hmm. How many countries are unable to elect a government? They're all fighting. U.S. President Trump, the most powerful leader in the world, has, like King Cyrus, endorsed Jewish sovereignty in the Promised Land. So that is linking the Christian world with the Jewish world.
Yes.
The kings of this world came up to Jerusalem. That's when all the dignitaries came for the Holocaust remembrance in Jerusalem. These things were never dreamed of, explained Rabbi Amar. How can these things be if not as preparation for the coming of the Messiah?
Now, so we've also got that peace agreement that probably is also a sign.
Everything is a sign. Everything becomes a sign. Now, where does it say in the Bible that when Prince Charles comes to visit South Africa or New Zealand, that's a sign that the Messiah is coming? Hmm? Does it say that anywhere?
No.
So where does this come from? Not from the Bible.
No.
So the Messiah is at the door. So he talks about all of these issues. And according to Amar's former spiritual advisor, he was just about to leave for a trip abroad recently when Rabbi Knievsky stopped him saying, "You are going abroad? You don't know that the Messiah is standing at the door?" So what are the signs? All the great rabbis of just generation are saying that the Messiah is about to reveal himself. That's important. All the signs of the prophets gave are all the signs predicted in the Gemara, the Mishnah, the Midrash. Everything is taking place one by one. All we need is to remain strong for a little bit longer. Where's the Bible? Where's the Bible? He then urged Jews everywhere to commit themselves to Torah observance, in particular keeping the Shabbat. That's interesting. Orthodox Judaism has long taught that the Messiah will only come once all the Jews are sanctifying the Shabbat. Do you find that interesting?
Very interesting. So how's this linking up with
now,
a Sunday?
Doesn't it strike you that in recent times, Israel has actually opened up their stores and their transport and their conveniences on the Sabbath day and have introduced a parallel Sunday observance?
Yeah.
I find that fascinating. So might there even be an acceptance of a universal Shabbat? It is notable how closely Rabbi Amar's exhortation echoes that of Yeshua, Jesus. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. You must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Interesting.
Yes.
So they even quote the New Testament. Start praying. Just after Rabbi Amar made these stunning remarks, Rabbi Avner Efgim expressed a similar view in an interview with a religious Israeli news portal, Kikar HaShabbat. He's one of the world's top Kabbalist rabbis.
That's mysticism.
That's mysticism. Now, doesn't the Bible warn against mysticism?
Yes.
So we have all this mingling of spiritualism. Now, the Bible clearly says that the end time Babylon is a triune union of the beast, the dragon, and the false prophet. And spiritualism forms a very important component of this mix. And he likewise believes that what has happened here over the past year is most definitely a sign of the coming of Messiah. It would be advisable to study the Torah and pray. Good morning, Israel. Jerusalem welcomes the kings of the Gentiles. So, convoy of aeroplanes arrive, and all of these kings came to visit. King Philip of Spain, King Willem Alexander of Holland, King Philip of Belgium, Prince Charles, and heir to the throne of Norway, Prince Hakon Magnus. Other guests included the French President Emmanuel Macron, German President Frank-Walter Steinmeier, the Presidents of Italy, Bulgaria, etc., Vladimir Putin. These are signs that the Messiah is coming. So you can make anything a sign, right? We need to stick to the Bible. The state of Israel, the restoration of Israel. Mm-hmm. When the Bible talks about Israel at the end of time, Israel means he who wrestled with God and overcame. And the name of Jacob was changed to Israel. And then the Bible is very clear that if you are in Christ, then you are the Israel of God.
Amen.
So we've gone from a literal, typological Israel to a spiritual Israel. So anybody who accepts Jesus Christ as the Savior from your sinful condition, he is the one that belongs to the Israel of God. So this Israel is not in the Bible as a physical entity, because when it says your house will be left you desolate, that's mm-hmm. what it means as a political entity. Individually, accept Christ and you can be grafted in.
Amen.
Now when it comes to these prophets in the Western world now, then it becomes very fascinating. Mm. And we have to be very careful to make sure that we are walking on biblical ground. Now when it comes to the Western world, and we're looking at some of the prophets of this age, the people that get visions from God, we have a very interesting video here where Sid Roth, who has a YouTube channel which is called It's Supernatural, mm. and he's talking to a pastor, Jeff Jansen, who wrote a book, The Destiny of God's America. Mm. And he's talking about Donald Trump and the probability of, or the definite victory mm. of Donald Trump. And he refers back to a vision or an encounter that what George Washington had. Now what's interesting is that this vision is prophetic about the United States of America and how long it will exist, etc., etc. And we have to put that into a context mm. with the Bible. Now, let me just talk a little bit about George Washington. We know that he was a Freemason. Mm. He was a very high Freemason.
Yes.
And there are many, many pictures of him with his apron and the inaugurations, etc. And one wonders whether these visions were necessarily visions from God, right? Mm. Mm. But the whole world is excited about this. Now, this Sid Roth is a Messianic Jew, or he's a Jew that has accepted Yeshua, as he says. And it just sets the stage, because this is the hype in the religious world today. And we need to discuss this, because even the elect
yes.
will have to determine is something from God or is something not from God, right? So let's have a look at this interview, and then we'll stop it occasionally, because there are some very interesting things which are being said.
In the natural, I don't think Trump really stands a chance if you believe in polls, but I believe in God. And I believe God is going to trump the polls.
God is going to trump the polls, and it would be scary if Biden would get in, but he is not going to. I've seen very clearly, I saw the first presidential election, and I was one of the few voices out there saying President Trump will be elected. Stand back, watch what happens. God's going to turn the tide. He is going to get in this second election. And this is part of the prophecy that is written in this book, the brand new book, Trump, the Destiny of God's America. It talks about the vision that President George Washington had back in 1777. And when the angel visited him, George Washington in the tent, Sid, he saw three major perils that would come to America. And the angel led him through each peril. The first peril was about the Revolutionary War. The second peril was about the Civil War, and he saw how each time the country came together back into unity through these perils. But there was another peril that came, and the angel said, this is the most dangerous peril. And we have not to date seen that peril, but I believe this is what George Washington saw back in 1777. And what he saw was this: dark clouds that came from around different nations from all around the world. And it was not a physical army. He described it as a black cloud that had red eyes or red flashes in it. And it was a demonic army, a demonic presence. And he saw buildings burning. I mean, look what's happening in our country now. He saw buildings burning. He saw all kinds of people fighting and millions of voices crying out. And he said that he watched this like a television screen. And I've been involved in, you know, I've been in encounters like that, prophetic encounters. And like this prophet that you're talking about, he saw things. I've seen things like this. Well, President George Washington saw these things as well. And he said, right when it looked like all hope would be lost. He said that the angel that was there in the vision took a trump and he put it to his mouth and he blew a long, fearful blast. And that's what the angel said.
Did he use the word in the vision? Did President George Washington use the word trump in his vision?
It was trumpet, but it was also trump. There's one place where it says trump and then it says trumpet. Mm-hmm. So you can say trumpet or trump. I think it's pretty clear what that is. Irregardless, when this chaos was happening in America, the angel put a trumpet or a trump to his mouth and released a long, fearful blast. And it says that the light of 1,000 suns invaded. This is the God factor, Sid, that you were seeing. The God factor is that at that sound of that trump, which I believe is the glory of God, the restoration of this nation that will carry us into the future, only God can do this. That trumpet sound came and the light of 1,000 suns invaded America and pushed back the dark clouds. And again, life came back into America and people had hope again. And the angel that was in that vision took the crown that said Union on his head and he placed it on the people and the people bowed down and said, Amen. And then the angel said one more thing. He said, as long as there are stars in the heaven and as long as the dew comes down upon the earth, so shall the Union live forever.
Now, let's just stop it right there for a moment. Mm. What we are seeing here is a recounting of the vision of George Washington, who, as we said, was a Freemason.
Yes.
Now, if you read Albert Pike's book, then it is pretty clear who the God of Freemasonry is. Mm. And it's definitely not the God of the Bible, right?
Correct.
Because he literally says that it is Lucifer. Mm. Now, the other interesting thing is he talks about these 1,000 lights. And George Bush Sr. also used that when he spoke about the New World Order, where he spoke about the 1,000 points of light. Mm. And that is it's a Luciferian doctrine. And we have to ask ourselves, will God use someone that is in a secret society that has a Luciferian origin? Will he use someone like that to reveal the future of God's kingdom to him? Does he fulfill the criteria of the Bible of what a prophet should be like? A prophet must have an exemplary life. A prophet must be obedient to God's precepts.
Yes.
A prophet must have fruits in harmony with the biblical criteria. And there are all the other signs. We're not going to deal with the signs of a prophet. We've done that before. But that as a basis. And then to take certain words out of a prophet, like he used the trump, and to apply that to Donald Trump is stretching it somewhat, wouldn't you say?
Yes, definitely.
So let's continue with this.
It's like you mentioned those days, back in a previous episode that we did of Nostradamus. It's so broadly, they fit everything into it eventually.
Eventually everything fits in. Yeah. Now, this particular video is interesting, and this book is very prominent in the United States at the moment. But many, many prophets align themselves. There are differences, and they have different aspects, but this is basically the core of what the evangelical world is running with at the moment.
Yes, correct. Different prophets. Everybody eventually comes to this same
exactly.
point.
To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, there is no light in them. The Holy Spirit is given to them that obey Him. Now, I'm not saying that God doesn't lead people. God certainly leads people, even people that have never heard of the truth, to the truth through His Spirit. So the leading of the Spirit applies to everyone. But to be a prophet takes very specific criteria. And I am fearful for the world that they put faith in people that do not necessarily qualify in terms of the criteria.
If we hold back, like what happened in 1973 with Roe versus Wade, and the leaders, they didn't want to get involved because there's a separation between church and state. That is the most ridiculous, demonic mindset. We need to lift our voices to have our voices counted in the courts of heaven to be able to release the verdict that God wants. God is looking for someone to agree with him on the planet, and that's the church. The church has the final say. We might be the least, according to them, according to the media, the fake news, but we have the final say. If my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves, we will shift the tide. God is looking for his people to get involved and to shift the tide.
Let's just stop right there, and then we'll continue with this video. What did he say the church and state separation was?
Demonic.
It was demonic. Now, who also said that?
The Pope.
The Pope, yes. He actually has many, many things to say about the separation of church and state. Now, when we look at the various models in the world, and this is very important that our listeners understand this, we're dealing always, when we're dealing with the mindset of humanity, and we're not talking about small group here and a small group there, we're talking about all of humanity. How do you shift this juggernaut, this massive ship's mindset into the direction that you want it to go? Hegelian dialectic. Yeah. Right, so you have thesis, you have antithesis, and you have synthesis. Now, what is the papal injunction? What does the papacy stand for? The papacy always stood for the two swords, the sword of the spirit and the secular sword. Yes. And the papacy has made it absolutely clear in encyclical after encyclical that the sword of the spirit is superior to the secular sword, and that the secular sword is subject to the sword of the spirit. So the church yields the divine sword, and the other one yields the secular sword, and the one is subordinate to the other. Now, that is how the Roman Catholic Church ruled the world in the Middle Ages. So those 10 horns that ruled in the European countries and all the countries that emanated from them, that are basically part of that system, had at one stage in the world's history given their power unto the beast power, the papal power. Yes. And they ruled and used the state to enforce their dogmas. Yes. And that's how it worked. But when the papacy ruled, it had still separated the church from the state. Yes. The church held preeminence, but the state had a measure of independence in terms of ruling the nation. Only when it came to the religious aspect did the church dictate to the state. Now, that is one model. Now, when the French Revolution came, that model was dissolved. Yes. And you had the total separation of church and state. And so the secular world eliminated the church out of government. And since the French Revolution, that has been the model that has been particularly followed in the United States of America. And it's now come to a point where morality has been thrown out of the window, so there's a clamoring to get back to this state. Now, this state that the papacy had was a middle ground. What is the other extreme? Because you have a thesis, you have an antithesis, right? The other extreme is where the church rules absolute.
Yes.
So the church becomes the state. That's never the papal model. And you have that in the Islamic world. Yeah. There, for example, if you go to Iran, the church is the state, and the highest leader is the Ayatollah, who rules with absolute authority over not only the church,
but
over the country, over the state as well. So that is the antithesis. And then you have the thesis, let's separate them completely, which has been since the state of the French Revolution, which is not the ideal, according to Catholicism. They have the middle ground. So now you have a thesis, no God in government. You have an antithesis, the church rules absolutely, and both of these are in absolute turmoil.
Yeah.
Absolute chaos. War. Riots, pain, death, suffering. What's the solution? The synthesis.
Yes, the Roman Catholic version.
And that's the Roman Catholic version. You get back to square one, right? Mm-hmm. We go back to the Middle Ages. That's where we're heading.
Yep.
And this is what the man said. He echoes Rome by saying that church and state separation is demonic. Mm. They have to come together. They're the ones that will determine. And this is where they're heading. And that's why Donald Trump is their champion.
Yeah.
Now, we are not saying here at this forum who's going to win. Mm. That's not our place. All we know is that the Bible says that the King of the North philosophy in the end will overcome the King of the South philosophy. And the King of the South philosophy emanated from the French Revolution.
Yes.
So that's what you have in the United States currently. And the Biden camp obviously supports that more strongly than the other one, right?
Yes.
Okay, so we have this scenario, and then you have the counterpole, which is absolute religious control. One more thing that he said was that this America... And this union that he's talking about, this church and state ruling, is going to last for how long, did he say?
Forever.
Forever. Now, whose philosophy is that? Is that a biblical philosophy?
No.
No. When you look at Daniel chapter 2, what happens when the stone that's not cut out by human hands, in other words, this divine intervention strikes the statue, what happens?
Makes it dust.
Dust. And even the dust will be swept away, right? There will remain nothing of the earthly systems. Now, whose philosophy are they actually echoing now when they say that when the church finally rules again, it will be like the kingdom of God that will rule forever? Whose philosophy is that?
The Roman Catholic.
That is the Roman Catholic philosophy. Roman Catholicism believes in amillennialism.
Oh, yes.
Amillennialism. In other words, there is no millennium. When the church rules, the kingdom will be here. So the kingdom is a kingdom on earth. But Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. And he's going to take his children away. At the last trump, the dead in Christ will rise first. Those that are on the world, on the earth at that stage will be translated in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And together with them, they will meet the Lord in the air.
Yes.
And then they will be taken away to heaven. And there they will rule with God 1,000 years.
In heaven.
In heaven. And the judgment will be handed to them. And the earth will be obliterated. All the earthly kingdoms will come to an end. This is not biblical prophecy.
Isn't it interesting? The same philosophy is also with the other savior-like things we've been talking about, like QAnon and all this.
Absolutely.
Everything is a kingdom on earth.
They're all waiting for the kingdom to come. And the kingdom will not be on earth.
This earth is not going to become better.
No. And they also have what we call a second chance doctrine.
Mm.
And there's no such thing. That would not be fair towards all the previous generations that don't have a second chance doctrine, right?
Correct.
So I'm not doubting, I don't think we are doubting, the sincerity of the people. But what we are pointing out is that if you are not rooted in the Word of God, if you start playing the game of incorporating everybody's ideas, whether he is a Mason or whether he is a whatever, and saying that that vision is what's going to unfold on earth and applying it to our time, you are not working with the Word of God.
Yeah.
It's not the right criterion. So let's continue and see what else he has to say.
But I'll tell you here, it's not just going to be this administration. It's not just going to be the next 4 years or 8 years. I saw 20 years, Sid, clearly. I saw 20 years, and I believe it's even further, because the Lord spoke to me and I saw in an encounter, he said, Jeff, when the last trump sounds. And I said, what do you mean the last trump sounds? He said, at the last trump, it will sound. Well, the last trump. And I said, Lord, what do you mean the last trump? It was a play on words, barren trump. There's one more thing that I would like to share, Sid, if I can, just tying it together. This year, on November the 11th, which is 11-11, November the 11th, in 1620, the Mayflower dropped anchor at Plymouth Rock. Well, this year, 11-11, 2020, is the 400-year anniversary of the Mayflower. And the Lord said, Jeff, just as I raised up a deliverer, I raised up a deliverer who confronted the powers of the day governmentally. Sound familiar? I raised up the powers of the day. I will lead my people in a glory revival that will deliver them from any other government, any other nation. I will lead them through the power of signs and wonders and miracles like they did with Exodus, in Exodus, where the children of Israel were in bondage 400 years. And they came out through the power of signs, wonders, and miracles. And according to Psalm 105, they came out with all of the gold, all of the silver, and there was not one feeble among them because of the healing angel. And that's coming to America. It's coming to Israel. It's coming to the Middle East. It's coming to the nations. But everything hinges on this election, and it's so, so key.
Now, he talks about 20 years. I hope he's wrong. And he's talking about Barron Trump. Now, who's that?
It's Donald's son.
So he's thinking of a succession where eventually even the son of Donald Trump will play an important role sometime in the next 20 years. Now, does the Bible say anything about these things?
No.
Is this rooted anywhere in the Bible?
No.
And he's saying it's coming to how many nations? All
the world.
Including? Including Israel.
Yeah.
So we have a total mixture of all of these things based basically on a vision that goes all the way back to Washington, who was a Mason. Mm. And we have to ask ourselves, can we run with this?
He mentioned in this last part that God said to him, I will raise up a savior. The New Age is also waiting for a dawn of the New Age.
Yes.
That will also have...
And they're all waiting for a Messiah, a Savior.
All of this is starting to interconnect.
So basically, what we are saying is all of these confusions that are out there in the world can be avoided if you take a simple, thus says the Word. And thus says the Lord.
And you know what what makes it more confusing is the true return of Jesus is also then imminent.
Absolutely.
So you've got all of this. The devil is not stupid.
No, he's not stupid.
He knows that all of this is culminating at the same time.
Absolutely. And how many nations does he want to have deceived?
Everybody.
All of them. Mm. So some of them accept Jesus Christ as their personal savior. Some of them don't. some of them outright reject him even as of any significance whatsoever. And as we said right in the beginning, that is the key. That is the key. So now I can have a union and I can have peace and I have prosperity and I can have a kingdom with people that accept Jesus, with people that don't accept Jesus, mm-hmm. with people that outright decry him as an imposter. That is a Babylonian confusion if ever there was one. And it's also interesting how they use dates and jubilees and all of these things, like the Mayflower and the date that he used for the Mayflower.
Yes.
And November.
11 November.
11-11-2020. And the Mayflower was then, and then 11-11, it will be exactly 400 years since that time, and that a deliverer would come. And the children of Israel were exactly 400 years, and then they were delivered. And so he is implying that Donald Trump will be the deliverer. Can you use prophecy in that way? Is that a biblical way of interpreting prophecy?
No. Not
no.
All.
So we're not trying to be harsh here. We're just trying to show people that your criteria always has to be the Word of God. Let's put a Jewish voice into the mix. Now here we have another prophet or prophecy. And this is Messianic Judaism. Let's hear what they have to say.
Yeah, well, the harbinger began when I was standing at Ground Zero, and I saw this tree and this, and I was led that something said you have to check this out. It became this mystery. The harbinger, for those who don't know, is the mystery of the template of warning and judgment of a nation that has known God and has turned away from ancient Israel. And in its last days of ancient Israel, these nine harbingers or signs appear in the land. And we've spoken, you were one of the first people I ever spoke to, you know, in the media, and how every sign precisely, eerily, you know, involving, starting with 9/11, that it always begins with this strike on the land, and it's a warning strike. It's a shaking of the nation. But then comes this period of time after that, and this window of time. And if you go following the template, the nation is given this time period to come back to God. If it doesn't come back, then greater shakings come. And the thing is, I've sensed that we were coming to the end of this window, or at least the end of a part of this window, before 2020. I sensed that 2020 was going to be, I mean, I told people about it. 2020 was going to be this time where we're in danger of with the window. And I told people about Israel at the beginning of the year, I believe it was a year of shaking. And the thing is, when I look back at the harbinger, Jonathan, when I read Things to Come, there's a chapter called Things to Come, and it talks about the shakings that will resume in the nation. And I'm just going to I just quickly Xeroxed it here. It says the shakings will take the form of take the form of economic disintegration. We're seeing it. Military defeat, not yet. Disorder and division, we're seeing it. The collapse of infrastructure. We're seeing it, man-made calamities, calamities of nature, and goes on. And the thing is that that's the pattern. The pattern is you have that initial warning strike, then you have a time period, and then you have the greater shakings. Not only that, but in that, when I look at the chapter, Jonathan, when it speaks about the shaking to come, it speaks about the word crown. The word crown is the word corona. Now, I didn't know it's there, but it's there in Things to Come. And the other thing is, I won't get into it now, but it actually, when I looked at it, it actually pinpoints the year 2020. And I'll show you, but it's there in the harbinger. You can read it. Not that it had to happen, but that it's happening. And that's one of the templates, biblical templates, why for years I was looking at this year 2020. And so now we are dealing with great shakings.
So now we have the crown, we have the corona, we have everything mixed in there. And he's talking about all of these world events.
Yeah, he even mentioned calamities, man-made and natural.
Exactly.
Change.
Now again, let's just go back to square one. The heart of the end time events that will take place, we find in the heart of the book of Revelation. And that is from chapter 11 all the way through to chapter 17, and then we get eschatology coming in. And the role players to watch are the beast out of the sea mm-hmm. and the beast out of the earth. And the one, the beast out of the sea is the papacy, yes. because that was clearly defined by the reformers, mm-hmm. and they were all of one accord when it came to that issue. And the beast out of the earth is the United States of America, which will once again introduce an image to the beast and enforce papal decrees. In other words, what the Bible is mm-hmm. saying is that the system of the first beast, Rome, which was church and state together,
yes.
will be replaced by the second beast that will do its bidding. But before it can do that, it must first create an image. In other words, it must become like the first one was. So the king of the north, which is the first one, yes. must defeat the secularism and go back to the status quo.
Yes.
That's what we have to watch. Do these prophets in any sense ever warn against the first beast?
No.
There's no warning, no against, warning the against the first beast.
None
against
whatsoever. Roman Catholicism, no.
Okay, is there any warning about the image of the beast?
No.
No, nothing. So is there something missing?
Yes.
So everything that's happening around is being attacked, and the problem is the separation of church and state.
Mm.
And it's fascinating to me, and we've shown it in previous discussions, that even the Jews are saying that the church and the state in America yeah. must come together, even though they're talking about the Christian world coming together. Yeah. That's what we need for morality. Mm-hmm. So the entire heart of the book of Revelation is left out of the scenario.
Yeah.
Now, besides these prophecies, the harbinger is, of course, also an interesting word. It's a harbinger is someone who brings the news, right?
Yeah.
Or something that tells what's going to happen in the future. Mm. And then you have these strange prophecies in between, very specific ones about who's going to die and what's going to happen. And everybody is on a roller coaster with all of these prophecies.
Yeah.
Is there any thus says the Lord in all of this? So listen to this one. I found this one rather interesting.
We are in a very sad state, ladies and gentlemen, a very sad state. And God is going to deal with all these false apostles and all these false prophets and prophetesses. Interesting, these people call themselves prophets, but yet when we sit down and we talk about the Word of God, hey, they have no knowledge of the Word of God. Well, I pray 6 hours a day. God's not interested in your prayers, ladies and gentlemen. He's interested in your, and he's spending time in His Word and abiding in His Word. God doesn't care about you praying. God is worried and wants you to be abiding in the Word. Allow me to explain to you the events that are going to take place. President Trump is going to die. California is going to have their 10.0 earthquake before the end of summer of this year. I went last September, on September 4th, I released a video that California was going to have the 10.0 earthquake. And it didn't happen. And it didn't happen because God is warning people. It was a warning, ladies and gentlemen. And the sad part about it is we have not taken heed to the warning of God. And when the 10.0 earthquake happens, we will lose the internet. That's why you want to save things on your computer. And America is going to collapse. There's something you need to look for. There's something you need to see so that you know that what I am telling you is about to take place. And the event is this. There is going to be a cataclysmic event that's going to shock and rock the Christian community in the next 7 to 10 days. And that's when the four televangelists die on the same day. Kenneth Copeland, Jim Baker, John Shorey, and Joyce Myers. When those four people die on the same day, ladies and gentlemen, then you know it's time for you to prepare. Yesterday morning, the Lord gave me, and I've only had a few of them, but I had a crystal clear vision of four men plotting the assassination of the President of the United States, Donald Trump. Four men plotting his assassination. The death of Donald Trump is going to mean great changes for America. But before he dies, there's going to be one event that's going to take place. And that event is, and I've done videos on this before, is there's going to be four televangelists, Kenneth Copeland, Jim Baker, John Shorey, Joyce Myers, that are all going to die on the same day. The biblical foundation is 1 Samuel chapter 4. You will see that Eli, his two sons, and his daughter-in-law all died on the same day. When that happens, you know that the death of Donald J. Trump is soon behind, not far after.
He predicted an earthquake and it never happened.
Yeah.
So it didn't happen because God was still giving a warning. Now, it's possible. God said Nineveh is going to fall, mm-hmm. and it didn't because they repented, right? Yes. But was there any repentance in California that you know about?
Yeah.
No. So what does the Bible say when somebody says something and it doesn't happen?
He's a false prophet.
And then four televangelists are going to die on the same day, and then Donald Trump will be assassinated. Well, apparently they say there have been many attempts on Donald Trump's life. But be that as it may, this is just throwing more information into the world, and people are looking to this one. And he's very adamant. God gave him this vision, right?
He's saying that the others are false prophets.
False prophets. And so they're going to disappear. Is it possible to take names out of the Bible, let's say Eli and his sons, and say, let's apply that to four televangelists living today?
It's possible to do it, but the accuracy of it...
Especially if one of them's a woman, right?
You're cherry-picking.
Absolutely.
Put it into context for yourself.
So can we, bottom line, can we in any way put our faith in signs and wonders, in prophecies, in all of these things? Can we do that?
If it is aligned with the Bible, and like to the law and to the testimony, then you can. But you must filter and test it.
Exactly.
And then you only can start relying on
it. Now, we've been speaking a lot about signs of the times,
mm-hmm.
and... you know, some people will say conspiracy, but as long as it is aligned with the Bible and with the Word of God, then it's not a conspiracy.
Yeah, I think in the past, this is episode 30. I think in the past 29 episodes, that's one of the main things we've been trying to bring over.
Yes.
If it's your filter is the Bible, even if we use Ellen White's writings. You filter it through the Bible.
It has to be in harmony with the Bible.
And that's why all these prophets, you put them on the same
So what table. Is our message to the people out there? And what is our message to the people within the church? Because the danger, as we saw, is that even the elect will be deceived. And that miracles and signs and wonders will bring this about. And especially miracles of healing.
Yes.
Well, that's very hard to just ignore, right? Finally, our discussion would not be complete if we didn't also refer to Lou Engel, who, of course, was the man who organized the call and the send and is very, very prominent in the evangelical circles. So let us see what he has to say and put that into the mix.
Recently, when President Trump was elected, who is the most pro-life president in the history of America, his stand for the church has been so amazing. I felt like the Lord rebuked me and said to me, Lou, you've told the story of Wilberforce in the movie theater. You told your story of your prayer, but you didn't believe. You just thought it was a great story, but I'm answering your story. If the church will pray, I'm answering your story. That President Trump is the Wilberforce you prayed for at that moment. And so I bring it to this thing where recently I've been praying. I've done 40-day fasts over the years. And I said, Lord, I can't call another 40-day fast. It's a crisis, but I can't do it. I've called too many fasts. And I said, Lord, if you want me to call this fast, then God, you've got to confirm it to me because I don't want to have good ideas. Two nights later, I have a dream. And in the dream, I'm in an intimate conversation with President Trump, and I could feel his pain. I could feel his loneliness. I could feel the pressure and the attack against his life in the dream. And suddenly I say, and I lift my voice with deep emotion toward him and deep love. And I said, I am going to pour out my heart for 40 days of fasting. And I'm going to be praying for you and for America. I woke up and I knew that that was the call. We're calling it the Hinge of History Fast. Hmm. And I would like to invite many of you that are watching to enter into this fast that started 2 days ago, daring to believe that principalities of powers of death and racism, anger, and riots can be broken in the heavens with massive fasting and prayer. We're doing this, and I think it's sovereign that I'm on the phone with you, Alan, and with all these constituents. It's a time. I'm afraid that we're at a moment that if things don't shift, we could be headed to a civil war.
So he is saying that everything has to come together and we need a Wilberforce. We need a Wilberforce. Now, that's very interesting to me because I was an evolutionist, right, before I discovered the truth of the scriptures. Now, Bishop Wilberforce was the one who debated in the issue of Darwinism. And he debated Darwin's bulldog, Huxley. And apparently in that debate, even though Wilberforce was very fiery, Huxley was the one who actually won the day, so the scientific world has to say today. So basically what he's saying is that Donald Trump is the one that opposes secularism and opposes the anti-God movement, just like Wilberforce opposed Darwinism. And they're all rooting for Trump. Mm. Now, if Trump wins, that will be interesting, because what kind of religion and state union will you have then?
It's going to be an interesting one with you, if you look at all the advisors and all the different denominations. That's
exactly. Is it going to be
board.
A biblical union, or is it going to be a papal union?
It's going to be papal.
It's going to be a papal union.
An ecumenical one.
So we've seen many visions. We've seen, we've discussed them, whether they are in harmony with the Bible. Let's just end on this quote, which comes from Maranatha. And it talks about satanic miracles. And it quotes Revelation 13:13, which is the heart of what we have discussed, where we have the two beasts in this wonderful revelation. And he doeth great wonders, so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. As the people of God approach the perils of the last days, Satan holds earnest consultation with his angels as to the most successful plan of overthrowing their faith. He sees that the popular churches are already lulled to sleep by his deceptive power. Did we see that?
Yes.
What's the criterion? The Word of God?
Yes.
By pleasing sophistry and lying wonders, he can continue to hold them under his control. Therefore, he directs his angels to lay their snares, especially for those who are looking for the second advent of Christ and endeavoring to keep the commandments of God. Even the elect will be deceived if they focus on these things. Mm-hmm. We are warned that in the last days he will work with signs and lying wonders, and he will continue these wonders until the close of probation, that he may point to them as evidence that he is an angel of light and not of darkness. This is serious.
Yes.
Satan will come in to deceive, if possible, the very elect. He claims to be Christ, and he is coming in pretending to be a great medical missionary. They're waiting for the Messiah, right?
Mm-hmm.
He will cause fire to come down from heaven in the sight of men to prove that he is God. The bottom line of what we have been discussing is that the Bible is the criterion from which we work. As we stated in the beginning, the centrality of Christ is absolute paramount.
Yes.
We cannot mix various religious systems and still have Christ in the centrality. So My prayer is that God's people will take a firm stand on a thus says the Lord, and that people out there that are confused and that have left the light that has been shining upon the path. I mean, the Reformation gave such clear light. Why has that been rejected? Why are there only flashes here and flashes there, but they get lost in the noise? We need to get back to the clear light that God gave to the founders of the Reformation movement and to the final remnant that keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus.
In the upcoming episode, we can then discuss what will be the final events
around
these false things and what is coming upon the God's people and the earth.
Yes.
And then we can carry on from there to the deliverance of God's people.
Yes, we will discuss that. We will discuss what these final events will be and why the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus is so prominent a feature of the final message to humanity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the issue of signs and wonders and of prophecies that pervade the world out there is a serious problem. But not only out there, Lord, within our very own ranks, we have similar experiences. Every wind of doctrine is blowing. Help us, Lord, to be rooted in the truth, to stand by the pillars of the faith, which are founded on an unshakable foundation. Give us strength and wisdom for the times in which we are living, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.